हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 127. Shankaracharya says, from Sutra 43, that devotees think that Pradyumna, who is considered to represent the cessas, has sprung from Sankarshan, who is considered to represent the living entities. But we cannot actually experience that a person can produce senses. Devotees also say that from Jumna has sprung Aniruddha, who is considered to represent the ego. But Shankaracharya says that unless the devotees can show how ego and the means of knowledge can generate from a person, such an explanation of the Vedanta Sutra cannot be accepted. For no other philosophers accept the sutras in that way. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's just, you have, like it says, you have a million fools come up with something, it doesn't make it correct. Just because no one else accepts it that way doesn't mean it's not right. Right? That's not a valid. Shankaracharya also says, Sutra 44, that he cannot accept the devotee's idea that Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha are equally as powerful as the Absolute Personality of Godhead, full in the six opulences of knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation, and free from the flaw of generation at a certain point. Even if they are full expansions, the flaw of generation remains. Right? Because they're trying to say is that there's a beginning to them. Because they say he expanded from. But what they're not catching is, no, they're... all these aspects of Krishna are already always there. It's just if he manifests them or not. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say somebody can speak 20 different languages, but they're not speaking all at once. You've met them. They're speaking whatever language it is. And then some other time you see it, they speak in a different language. It's not that now they started speaking that language. It began at that point, right? Yeah. So Krishna is eternal. All his expansions are also eternal. They're always there. It's just a matter of manifesting, because they're all part of his personality.
Maharaj, can we say that Shankaracharya is not accepting, or at least he's writing, the inconceivability of Krishna?
He's not yet. Not accepting conceivability, because he's trying to establish the point of... this oneness, or this Brahman, because he's trying to switch the Buddhists from being...
being
voidists to being taking up the, you know, following the Vedas. So he has to have a philosophy that's similar. Plus the idea is he's bewildering them anyway, so if he keeps them on the path of Gyan, right, because they come into the fold but they stick to Gyan, then they won't get much into karma.
Yes.
Right, and karma is where they had their problem.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to regulate that to see that it's going to work. So it's only when they come to Vaishnavism that they'll understand how to properly apply karma.
Yes.
Right? Because previously, then the understanding was that it's all connected to the Supreme for pleasing the Lord. That would be the motive. Now, whether they want a fruitive fruit of results are liberation, right? This would be then coming from the performance of duties, though they accept the Supreme Lord. You know, it's just like you can accept that there's an authority, but it's not necessarily that you're dealing with them out of, you know, love. You know, it's just that respect and something that you want, right? Is that, yeah, so But then when we come into Kali Yuga, they're not thinking on this level at all. They don't adjust or deal in this way at all. Mm-hmm. So they've lost that connection with the Lord. So for them, it's just the fruit of benefits they'll get. Yes. And then they try to stretch it and take how much advantage of that they can. Yes. Right? So therefore they've used the principle in Manu of following the rules of the Veda is non-violent, and then applied that into an area of violence for their own purpose. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then they have a weakness in this area of karma. So, therefore, on the material platform, it's going to be very hard to deal. So first they make them peaceful. Then they bring them back into the Veda, but still within the area of Gyan, so they don't get too involved in karma. So only then when they meet the Vaishnavas, then they can take up that karma as Yukta Vairagya, engaged in the Lord's service. Then they'll function in a way that's beyond that attachment.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So it's taking a little time. You know, this is over, you know, about 3,000 years or something like that. But in any case, then it's that's the point. So he's dealing in these ways, and it's not necessarily, because if the acharyas then translate his works, they can bring it into our meaning.
Yes.
Right? Because he's saying is, you know, that they, what do you call it? Are equally as powerful, but then they're saying, but actually that there's, cannot accept that they're the same. That the same is they are the same in that they are equally as powerful, but the point is in manifestation, they're not going to manifest as much of Krishna's personality as Krishna will. Right? That's why he manifests 64 qualities. They only manifest 60. In full. But, you know. So like this you can understand. But for those who aren't devotees, they won't understand that. They'll take it by the face value. Right? Because he's not speaking in direct terms. He's only speaking in Lakshana, only in indirect. But it's presented as if he's speaking in direct, but he's not. Because everything's speculation, everything's anuma. So therefore the indirect meaning has to be seen. And then so the direct meaning is the devotional. Right? But they just take the indirect and speculate on it. So
he's trying to mix the Swayam Bhagavan principle with Prakash and Vilas and just cooking it all together.
Yeah, just enough to get his points to work. But the principle is that you can still see the difference. It's just the wording that he uses. You know, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that addressing one Western audience said the experience of these hells mentioned in the Veda, in the Vedic literature, than their imagination. Yeah. Right? So now, for a British audience, that means their imagination means they're not real, they don't exist, so therefore, okay, here's a very, sober, straightforward Hindu guy. Okay, maybe their culture's different, they eat things a little differently and stuff like that, but, he's thoughtful. So now they'll listen. Right? But as we see it in when Manu explains and Bhagavatam explains, is that the living entity, because they're not in a gross body, right? So they need a body to be able to experience the hellish condition. So they cover them in a special body, a special mental body, just so that they have a body that you can toss off a mountain. Right, because if you toss 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair off, it might blow away in the wind. then it's a whole problem. So they have a body, but it's a special body that covers the mind, so that it's actually tougher, so that it can handle. Because if you're tossed off this mountain onto these sharp, jagged rocks, you need something tough enough to hold it together. Right, but you get the full experience. Right? That's the one thing, is that Yamadutas, they guarantee full experience. Right? There's not going to be they're not economizing on any aspect like that. You'll get your full deal, right? Not one bit, yeah. No cheating, no like that, you know. So because it's a mental body. And when you say imagination, it means a body with the mind, just like when you dream, it's a body with the mind. But because you identify with it, you feel emotions. So they do the same thing in the hellish planets. Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't change like in a dream. You know, you're falling off the cliff, you actually do hit down at the bottom. Then they drag you back up again and do that all day. You know, this is the origin of that. We can do this all day comes from, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, therefore, he hasn't said anything against the Veda, but for those who don't know the Veda, they'll interpret it in one way, and then they'll listen. Just like the Buddhists will interpret it in one way and then listen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the devotees know he's talking something else. That's why Shankara's teachings are to be avoided. But they can be understood in connection with devotional service. But his followers, their writings, those you avoid like the plague. Because they are materialists. So what they write is purely material. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You also mentions like he's accepting over here Shankaracharya that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has the six opulences, and then like he's saying that the expansions are at a certain point in time, so that is the flaw. So basically, what is beyond time and space is bringing them into time and space now.
Well, it's beyond time, yes, because for the impersonalist, only Brahman is beyond time and space. Everything else is within time and space. Right. So it's just that's how they view it. So that's their interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't understand anything outside of that. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to argue with them on that. The point is because it's beyond time and space, therefore the personal aspect also cannot be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Why only the Brahman aspect? Right? And so then yes, the Achinta aspect is not there, so they can't understand how all this works. Even if they are full, Vasudev Shankarsha Pratumna Aniruddha, being distinct individual personalities, cannot be one. Therefore, if they are accepted as absolute, full, and equal, there would have to be many personalities of Godhead. But there's no need to accept that there are many personalities of Godhead, because acceptance of one omnipotent God is sufficient for all purposes. Right? Because one God can do everything. Why do you need so many? Right? The acceptance of more than one God is contradictory to the conclusion that Lord Vasudeva, the absolute personality of Godhead, is one without a second. Right, so now he's discussing our philosophy, trying to use it against us, right? Same like we'll use their philosophy against them, right? Even if we agree to accept that the quadruple forms of Godhead are all identical, we cannot avoid the incongruous flaw of non-eternity. Right, because he keeps bringing it back as if they're expanded from, that means they started at a point, not that they're always part of it. Yeah. Unless we accept that there are some differences among the personalities, right, then they can't be the same. Right? There's no meaning to the idea that Sankarshan is the expansion of Vasudeva, right? Because they're trying to use that one what will say that if the expansion is exactly identical, they don't identify it as something else. Right? Because the cause and effect, then the effect would be the cause.
Yes.
It's just the same. You wouldn't see any difference.
Yes.
Right? So, applying that, then they're trying to say is that, well, how do you identify this individual unless there's some difference?
Yes.
But then being different, they're not identical. Right? Yes. So, you know, that's the whole point of logic.
Yes.
That cleverness of logic doesn't establish truth. Because you can find all kinds of funny things that just don't match.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you just find one of those, and who's ever better at finding those, that's who wins the argument. That's the nigrahastan, right? Is the mm-hmm. point that the others doesn't have an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, I don't know, you know, like I say, I always heard about, you know, kids when they would harass each other. I think it's from World War II. At least that sometimes they would, boys would harass other boys that upset them by saying, "Your mother wears army boots." What that means, I have no idea, but it somehow or another would annoy the other boys and it would start a fight. Right? So, now, that they say this, the other guy has nothing to say. What do you say to that? Right? So then they've won the argument, but it's not that it's true. Does that make sense? Because if it was true, then the guy would probably just come over and kick their backside anyway, just for the, you know, for, what do you call it? You know, on principle. Not that he cares, because she does wear army boots. You know? So this makes sense. Not the army boots part.
Army boots point we couldn't catch.
No? Okay. Prajumna is an expansion of Shankarshan. Aniruddha is an expansion of Prajumna. There must be a distinction between cause and effect. For example, a pot is discerned from the earth from which it was made. And therefore we can ascertain that the earth is the cause and the pot is the effect. Right? We'll say the same thing. But the point is there is difference in the mood.
Yes, yes.
Same person, different mood.
They always come up with the same. It's always the pot.
Is there a better example? I mean, it's the pot, it's the earth and the pot, or it's the gold mine and the you know, earring or thing. Is there something better than that?
And the smoke
and fire.
Yeah, because they work. Does that make sense?
It's probably the mode of goodness.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise we can say the dough and the croissant or something like that, you know, if you want. No? Yes.
Why do they say that Prajumna came from Sankarshan? As far as we know, all of them came from Vasudev.
No, but that's the order. You have Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha. So it always comes in that order. That's why you see is that there's also that hierarchy. This, you know,
yes.
Sankarshan says Balaram, then you see, then we expand with Prajumna, and then his son was Aniruddha.
Yeah.
Right? So you always get this hierarchy. Because then that's how it's going to work. It's going to start with your identity, then contemplating that and gaining desires, then further contemplation, that turns into attachment, and that becomes your goal.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, it progresses. But then he's also giving others. They're using a different one here. It must be from a particular Upanishad or something. Or that they're working on here, where one's ego, I mean not ego, means this jiva, which means ego. But at the same time, they'll put false ego in Aniruddha, because your goal is false. So it must be false ego to work with that goal. So they're bringing out different aspects. That's also how they are the same, but there's different flavors. So those flavors match. Even though there's an overlap, but it still matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you have, let's say, a salad. You put some balsamic vinegar on it, right? Or you also have some strawberry ice cream and you put some balsamic vinegar on it. So the common point is that balsamic, but the two things are very different, but they match those areas.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maharaj, they're saying that Aniruddha and false ego, that is Amrit. And other scriptures say Aniruddha and mind also.
Yeah, but the point is the false ego is part of the mind anyway. Yeah, but what we're saying is there are different aspects of the same thing. Because everything is connected to each other. We're not going to get this completely clean, has nothing to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the point is in cause and effect, that's the whole point. The cause is in the effect. Because if we don't accept that, you know, well, how can that be? Then that takes us into these other philosophies, like I think it's Vaisheshika, that doesn't accept cause and effect. Right. So we want to avoid that, right? Yeah. Okay. It's a good thing to avoid. Yes.
So cause is in the effect, but we can't say cause is the effect. It's not exactly the same.
It is, but not. That's the whole point. That's the point of achintya. Is the achintya potency, then it is the same, but it's different. Because mm-hmm. how could it be if it's not? Like clay, if it's not clay, how could it be a pot? But at the same time, it's unique because it's a pot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still clay. So same way as Krishna and his energies and the manifestation of his energies, the manifestations of the energy, and the energy is non-different from him. But at the same time, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. So that simultaneous, inconceivably oneness and difference. That's the whole point. And it's simultaneous. That's what's important. Because we see is that difference is appreciated by Nimbarka, but not simultaneously. Because you can look at something in one way or another, but to look at it in both ways, that's difficult. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like you take a... Okay, if we have a, let's say, a trabant. No?
I forgot what it is. I know the word, but I just don't know what it
is. It's a funky East European car.
German. Yeah, that's right.
East Germany.
Yeah, East Germany. Yeah. Yeah. How you say? He's in other words, it'll give a Fiat, you know, a run for its money, right? Yeah. So then you have that on one side, and then you have the Porsche, right? So. Now, you can see one's economy, and one is, you know, has aesthetics and, you know, has more, you know, something more is happening. Right? So, you're seeing one, you're seeing the other. And then if you're doing, you're working on, you know, something you want economic, you do one way, you want something fancy, you look at the other way. Okay?
Yeah.
But now, I forget what the guy's name was, whatever, the wallet started the whole Porsche thing, then that was the fancy one. And then the one that took into consideration the economics, but tried to keep that still, the aesthetics and other things, that became the bug. Right? Because basically, if you have one of those very overly large trolls step on a VW bug, it becomes a Porsche. Right? That's the difference. You know, if he, you know, hits the front and back and like that and it gets taller, then it becomes the bug. No? Yeah. So he's keeping in mind this idea of the aesthetic. So he's blending the two together, and that's unique.
The price is also unique.
Hmm?
The price is also quite unique.
Well, that's now. But then it was very, very cheap.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. No, everybody had them. It was like if you started off, you had no money, like a college kid, you had a VW. But, you know, the thing, because they were cheap. Now that it's, you know, it's an upgrade, it's more of a, what do you call it? You know. Yeah. You know, just, you know, like the Mini. Mini also is super cheap. You know, yeah, I'm saying the original. So that's the way it was made. That was the... Does that make sense? So the point is when you see it both together, you get a uniqueness that you won't get if you see it with one or the other. So that's the whole thing Lord Chaitanya's giving, is that ability to see them together. Because like in Dwarka, they can see one or the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They see him either as the personality of Godhead and they drop into Dasya Ras, or they see him as their son and stay in that mood. But they can't see both together. They just can't. You know what I'm saying? The one, if it's extreme, means they can say he's the son and they'll go like that. But if it gets a little bit more, they'll fall out of the rasa. Right? Yes? Because it's one or the other. But in Braja, then the two go together, it's not a problem. you know, they generally wouldn't put them together, but when they figure out that they are together, then they're not worried about it.
I already took the shower.
Okay. So you're thinking they should be doing this in summertime. Yeah, 4 in the afternoon is after the festival, then they can come and do it. Yeah, so, and so for them, he's just, you know, their, you know, child. He may be God, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is that he's the child. So the two can go together. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gives much more. So then when you drop, and that's within the devotional. So when you drop out of devotional, all you have left is material intelligence, which has to work on material logic. And being jnanis, of course, then that's what they do all day. So they have nothing better to do than look at details like this. Right? You know, because they're not making money. If they, imagine if they use that kind of brain in industry, how wealthy they'd be. You know,
that's karma.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So they don't. So they just use it all, you know, all day. And day. Without this, okay. Without such distinctions, there's no meaning to cause and effect. But they take it in one way that there's not. Like, remember also the Buddhists. Then they'll make one connection, and then, which matches, and then they'll attribute those qualities of that to something different that's not actually part of that equation. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some connection. You know? How are you saying? Yeah. Yeah? Okay. Furthermore, the followers of the Pancharatrik principles do not accept the differences in knowledge and qualities between Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajubna, and Aniruddha, which we don't. We say they're the same, but they're performing different functions. Same personality, different functions. Because of the functions, therefore the names. Like Krishna's Nanda Nandana because he's dear to Nandamar. He's also Jashoda Nandana because he's dear to Mother Jashoda. But is there a problem in him being both? No. Yeah. So that's the thing, is on the material they get into, it's outside of the purview of their experience, so they can't understand it. The devotees accept all these expansions to be one, but why should they restrict oneness to these quadruple expansions? Right? Why not make everybody one? See, that is, you're accepting one, why not everything's one? It's like, yeah, that's the whole point. As soon as they get one, then they go too far. Certainly we should not do so, for all living entities, from Brahma to the insignificant ant, are expansions of Vasudeva, as accepted in all the Shrutis and Smritis. Right? Then you just make everybody one. Shankaracharya also says, Sutra 45, that the devotees who follow the Pancharatra state that God's qualities and God himself as the owner of the qualities. Okay. This is still, we're continuing with that?
Yes, Maharaj. The
commentary. Oh, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
No, Prabhupada.
Oh, Prabhupada.
Bhagavatam was referenced.
Okay, this is Bhagavatam. Okay.
It's not the Bhagavatam verse reference, it's a footnote, because wherever Prabhupada is referring to the Vedanta Sutra verses, that we have included. So okay. These are the four verses of this particular adhikaran that he's explaining.
Okay. Shankaracharya also says, Sutra 45, that the devotees who follow the Pancharatra state that God's qualities and God himself as the owner of the qualities are the same. But how can the Bhagavat school state that the six opulences, wisdom, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation, are identical with Lord Vasudeva? This is impossible, right? They can't understand any of these.
What's their logic? Why is this happening?
Because you're saying that the person and the qualities are non-different. Right? They're, you know, because their whole point is, no, the person has qualities.
We also say that.
Yes, but they're non-different. They are Krishna. So then the difficulty comes up is that if we get into this, then what they're trying to point out is that Brahman is one because there's no qualities. then they want to show everything's one. So here, then, they show is that this can't be the highest because there's a difference in qualities. So, Shankar, Shankar, Prajumna, Adi, Rudra, and Vasudeva, then you get rid of the three, then you leave Vasudeva, then you get rid of him, so all that's left is Brahman and Haridol. You understand? So they have certain motives that are there, and they'll always go to those. So, in his Lagva Bhagavatam Rita, Purva 5, 165-193, Srila Rupa Goswami has refuted the charges directed against the devotees by Sripad Shankaracharya regarding their explanation of the quadruple forms Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Adiruddha. Rupa Goswami says that these four expansions of Narayana are present in the spiritual sky, where they are famous as Mahavasta. Among them, Vasudeva is worshipped within the heart by meditation, because he is the predominating deity of the heart, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. Sankarsana, the second expansion, is Vasudeva's personal expansion for pastimes. And since he is the reservoir of all living entities, he is sometimes called Jiva, right? Because the Jivas are from that aspect of the internal potency. So that, organization of things in that capacity, right? Then that's what Sankarsana does, right? So the Kriya Shakti, right? So Chit. So then he being the Lord of Chit, that means then he is the reservoir of all living entities, right? That's just the tattva aspect of what. Does that make sense?
That's very confusing because we think we came from Balaram, but actually it's not. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says,
but Balaram is Sankarsana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a matter of at what point are you... See, what you have to see means... One of our old friends. It's, I mean, the topics.
Yeah.
Is, as we can see here, it's all about mentality, right? Because we're dealing in karma, jnana, and bhakti. And they're using the same, standard formulas, right? They're all from the Veda, the activities. They're all taking their bath. They're all chanting their Gayatris. They're all doing these kind of things. So what's the difference between them? The actual difference, right, is the consciousness, right? So it's not the situation. It's the consciousness. Does that make sense? But we'll generally want to put it as, it's the situation. But it's not. Therefore, material world, the situation is where people who are mundane are. But it's not that you have to be mundane in this situation. Just like in the spiritual world, that's the situation. Now, that's the ideal place to be Krishna conscious, but you can also not be Krishna conscious. Right? So, therefore, if one is not Krishna conscious in the spiritual world, you're in the material world, even though physically you're in the same place as everybody else. Right? The demons that come to Vrindavan, they're in the same place. Right? Someone said. Or you have those who are here in this material world, like Jara Bharat and others, that they're here, but they're not, they're there, even though they're physically here with us. So if that's understood or appreciated, then this whole thing of where does the jiva come from? Does it come from Krishna? Does it come from Balaram to Shankarshan or Mahavishnu? Or we found them under a rock? Where did we find them? Or where did they come from? Then the whole problem is we want to put time and space on it. And you can't do that. It's consciousness. Right? So therefore, if the consciousness is... not progressive towards Krishna, and that then where is that consciousness situated, right? In the material world, who's the Lord of the material world? Because Vasudeva is the Paramatma, right? So therefore the Paramatma in the material world is Mahavishnu. Therefore those souls are coming from him, right? If the inclination is worshiping him in what do you call it? In Aishwarya, so Vaikuntha kind of, then that will place them in, you know, coming from Balaram or Sankarshan or whatever. Then the other will place them coming from Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're looking at it, no, it's the situation. It's the place. And that's where all these problems come in. That's why it's not a topic for discussion. Because unless one has the ability to appreciate this point, if there's no time and space, you can't see it. The other day it came up, someone wanted to discuss it. And somehow or another, a devotee came into the conversation who wasn't expected to be there. And he took it that these kind of discussions on this platform, the Beyond Time and Space, were material. And he got all, you know, emotional and this, and, you know, speaking very strongly, and this is all of the material and this. So the point is it's not a topic for discussion, because if you have the adhikar for it, then you don't care. Because it's a matter of mentality. You change the mentality, you change your connection. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if one doesn't have the adhikar, then one's seeing time and space, and then it's all a matter of prestige, and what I want, and what this and that, and I don't want to be from there, I want to be from here, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it creates a whole discussion that actually has no basis in any reality. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because when you say, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the soul comes from Brahman, what's Brahman? Brahman's the impersonal, the neutral state. Right? Because the others, then it means it's positive, it's moving forward. So the jiva being tatasta, that's the neutral state, that's Brahman platform. Because the soul is Brahman. They're situated in the material world in Brahman. Right? They're situated in the spiritual world in Brahman. It's all Brahman. But the point is we're not making distinctions here in what this means of Brahman. Right? So, but as soon as we say Brahman, everyone will leave the discussion alone. Because we can relate to Brahman. So, yeah, okay, we came from Brahman. Bas, finish. We didn't come from the spiritual world. We're not from the material world. So we're good. Because that's the point. Is we're from the internal potency, but you have to take shelter of one or the other, either the internal and go into the spiritual world, or the external in that. So you're in that neutral point.
Yes.
Then when we decide to see the material energy and its, you know, as a value separate from Krishna, that's when we've chosen the material. And when you see it in connection to Krishna, that's when you've chosen the internal. Right? So you have to start at the neutral point. But it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, you know, thing of it's all imagination. It just stops the conversation. Right? Because why waste time talking about things that people can't understand? Right? Because they'll take it as very important. Oh, I want to discuss this. But you don't have the adhikar to discuss this. You know, and people don't want to accept that either. I'm smart, therefore I know have you know, I have the right to know anything.
Well, if we say like that, you don't have an adhikar, it means, you know, you puffed up, who you think you are.
We're saying scripture's saying. Prabhupada said. All the acharyas said. During the time when it was the GBC, what do you call it now? They call it SAC or whatever it is. Right? Shastric Advisory Committee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they could have come up with something else, right? Because, I mean, we always say that, but then now they start using just SAC, right? So, you know, potato sack, you know, I say Godiva, you know, chocolate bag that you put your chocolates in. Sack, you know, it doesn't say what kind, you know. The sports sack, you know, it doesn't say. So, they went to all the four sampradayas and asked their scholars, and they said, our acharya said don't discuss this topic. So is there a pattern here, maybe? Right? I don't know, what we never asked Shankaracharya, they're lying. like that, because they'll just say you don't exist, so they solve the problem. But that means all five of the Vaishnava Acharyas said don't discuss this topic. So where does it come from that you're puffed up and this and that? Because you just quote Shastra. Sarva dharmam parityaja. Oh, you're puffed up. You know? Dharma kshetra kuru kshetra. Oh, so puffed up. Know so much, huh? Yeah, I also know what a kshetra is, you know. So, I mean, if we're just going to work in ignorance, then why even bother? That's the time when you seriously, you know, leave the room to go powder your nose or something, you know, and then just don't come back. You know, crawl out the window, do something, just leave.
No, it's back into
Brahman. Huh? Yeah, merge back into Brahman.
But it seems like, for instance, like, just an example in the Prema Vivarta, famous verse about Krishna, Bhuyaji, Bhagavanji. Japati Adharya seems like it's talking in terms of time and space. The living entity is slapped down from his.
Well, otherwise, how do we understand? It means it's happening on the eternal platform. It's not that there's not activities there. See, the problem comes then we say, oh, but then if we're slapped, it has to be a start. But the point is it's in the spiritual world. There is no time and space. The pastimes are going on. But that's the problem. We always put this. So let me talk about it in that context. And we'll see it so we can relate. That's why they bring up certain points. Then we can relate to those points. But there's a limit because it's, logic isn't what's going to make it work. And so those that identify, in other words, they have that false ego aspect, that I am intelligent. You can say that Adiruddha is a false ego because that's what your goal is. You want to maintain that ego. So whatever goal you set will be to maintain your identity. You know, if you think you're rich, then you make goals that will make you more rich. If you're intelligent, to show that you're intelligent, to be, you know, more established. So in that way you can also say the false ego is the goal, because it's because of the false ego you have that goal. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is but the point is those who are caught, they demand to talk about it, so that's the problem.
Yeah, they demand, and then they say you're avoiding answering that question.
It's just because they're not qualified, that's all. Point is if they were qualified in the first place, they wouldn't bring it up. Right? Unless it's somehow or another passing came up. But this thing that they have a question, it has to be addressed. They have a right to, you know, bring it up and have you address it according to the way they want to hear it. It's all about themselves, so it's all false ego. So, where, you know, the false ego thing, it's they're just seeing the reflection of their own. That's the weakness, is they're not seeing how the modes are working, and therefore they can't go beyond them. But the point is when you accept Krishna and it's inconceivable, then what's the problem? Right? So, it's not that we're looking at a fault in them. It's a fault in the devotional process that they're following. So if they correct that, then they'll move more forward, right? So we can see where there's faults in devotional service, but we don't attribute that to that particular living entity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what it means you're not fault-finding. It means the problem is in their service. That's why if they correct the understanding and correct it, everything's fine now. So if you say, we have to make distinction to make it work, and then there's prayas citta or some other thing, then that means, no, you're attributing it to the living entity. So it's not a defect in devotional service, it's a defect in the functioning in the material world. Does that make sense? There's that slight switch. Because the one is that it is devotional service is being performed. Yes, this individual is involved, and so if they perform it right, they get the benefit. They don't perform it right, they don't get the benefit. So the idea of the preaching mission is people get benefit. Therefore, then, you are seeing that they understand and follow how it should be followed for the devotional benefit, not because of right and wrong. It's a different approach. It looks the same, just like cooking for Krishna and cooking for Maya look the same. same recipe. You know, they're both getting out the Julia Child's, you know, cookbook. You know, it's all going. But the difference is that one, the consciousness. So that's always the differentiating point, is the consciousness, not the external. Arguments happen on the external. Differences, issues are all on the external. They're never on consciousness. Otherwise, it's not an issue. Either Krishna conscious or you're not. But when you're not, then now here's where we have. Does that make sense? So all they're doing is trying to bring the transcendental down into a material concept, and then from there making it into an argument. Because they need to argue. Because you'll find that these things, there's a good chance it's like that in all aspects of their life. They go down to the Prashad, you know, to Prashad, and they're arguing there. Or, you know, they're dealing at home, they're arguing there. So whatever it is, there'll be an argument. So it's just their need.
So when we see this kind of mentality, we just leave this person and let the process, you know, purify, or what?
Yeah. At least at that point, you can't do anything. It's like what it says, like with the horse. The horse is, you know, very stubborn. You let it go its way and then catch it. Because if you just pull back on the reins, they just grit their teeth. But you let them go, then they go, and then you start to lean their head. Right? Because somehow the horse is wherever they're looking, their head's pointed, that's where they go. I mean, we do it also. But but it's otherwise, if you pull back, because they're not going where they are, they'll just keep going. But if you let them go, then you can steer them. Right? Does that make sense? Because you can't steer them when they're stopped anyway. So. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, there's no advantage. Because no matter what you try, is that for them, it's where they get their emotion. Or one of the areas where they get emotion. The point is they'll want to bring it into an emotional discussion. Because if you just are discussing in a plain thing, I've noticed sometimes you see that, devote, you're going and you're discussing something, but there's no emotion in it because it's just the facts. But then they'll bring it up in a way to spark some emotion. And they'll keep doing that until it turns into a full-on riot. And then they're there. They're perfectly, you see, they're just happy. They're not also getting into it. They just sit back and watch the fun, especially if they get two other people. I mean, if they get one person to argue against a third party that's non-existent, then that's also good. But if you can get two actual physical parties to start it, they're even more happy.
Well, this is what women do, actually.
Yeah, because it's about the emotion, the experience. Because they want an experience from it rather than just the facts. You know, facts should generate experience. And if they don't, what's the use of those facts? Right? Like you've made some arrangement, and by seeing it, it creates no experience or no emotion, then it's useless. But if by how it is, then it creates an emotion, then it's good. So it's the nature of the living entity. Right? Does that make sense? It's just that you have the different features of now the man, just mechanically how it went and all. Then they're going, woo, like that. And the one's like, so? You know? So it's just a matter of the principle is there. It's just whether it manifests through a masculine form or feminine form. Because we're energy. That's how it works. So only Krishna can be Atma Rama. Right? Means following, absorbing ourselves in Him, we can become that Atma Rama on the material platform. Where we're not interested in the material. Because we're connected to the spiritual. Right? Does that make sense? Can be. Right. Sankarshan, the second expansion. Because it's always Vasudev Sankarshan Prajumnadi Ruda. That's the order it goes in. But you see, when we're dealing with the creation of things, then you'll see Sankarshan be the first to manifest. And then from because he creates the situation. Right? Then Prajumnan Aniruddha, when all that's in place, then Vasudeva expands from Sankarshan like that. So that's explained also in TLC. So they're both correct. Because out of service, then Sankarshan goes first. Okay. You know, just like, let's say you have a, you know, some person who's, you know, well-placed. And let's say they're planning to go on, you know, a trip or a vacation. They may have people that go ahead and make all the arrangements. Right? And so when everything's arranged, then, you know, they come, okay, it's all arranged, they take down the luggage, they put you in the car, you go to the airport, they put you on the plane. When you get to the other side, someone's there, just takes you to the place. It's all set up, already what you already want, what you this, that, it's already been arranged. You could say, but so then you can say, but then Vasudev's last. No, because Sankarsana Pradyumna and Aniruddha are making the arrangements for Vasudev. But the point is so from that aspect, then you see Sankarsana will be first, because he'll arrange the one, and then when it's all there, then he'll invite Vasudev. But at the same time, is why is that arrangement being made? Right? Because the person wants to go on vacation. Vasudev wants to perform a particular pastime, so then Sankarsana Pradyumna Aniruddha will make the arrangements. When the arrangements are made, then Vasudev will appear. So that's the thing. There's never any contradiction in the scripture. It's just bringing out different angles. Right? So even we say Aniruddha is the mind, but a mind is chitta. You know how you say, what do you call it? Manas, chitta. Then you have buddhi and ahankar. Right. So which aspect are you talking about? Right. So we'll just say mind. We'll just think of one part of it. But the reason the mind is working in that way is because of the false ego. You change the false ego, you change the whole effect. Right? So when our goal is materialism, then that false ego will drive us in that way. When our goal is to serve Krishna, then that will change the whole attitude and that of the mind. So the identity changes, so how the mind works changes. So...
So in this four, when we say the buddhi and chitta, ahankara would be...
It means it depends how you're putting it. And here, it's putting it there at the end. Because the mind is the overall thing. That's what's working. It's mind with the senses, mind with the samskaras, mind with the intelligence, mind with the ego. That's the process of going on. Does that make sense? So that's perception and rational reasoning, and then application. It'll go back to the manas, back to the senses. So it's just a matter of what you're bringing out. So here in this one, then they're bringing out that the idea is that Sankarsana is sometimes called Jiva because he's the reservoir of all living entities. Like that. So when he's Jiva, then Aniruddha becomes the false ego. Because right, otherwise false ego is taken care of by Sankarsana, therefore then Aniruddha is just that aspect of the mind. But when it's not, then that part of the mind, that aspect of the mind goes over to Aniruddha, because then he's Jiva. Because in there, if you say Jiva, then it also includes all of their identities and everything, you know, how they get here, where they situate themselves, then their goals would be according to their false ego. That work? Okay. Remember, clay and pot.
As soon as you think you got it, then it switches again.
But it hasn't switched. It's just adding more. You know, okay, you have some leaves. And you put them in the bowl. Now, if we add some tomatoes to those leaves, is that a problem? It's changed? It means you'd rather just have the lettuce and that's it. No tomatoes, no olives, or anything else to put in there. But is it still salad?
Yes.
And do you appreciate it as it's expanding in this way? So then it's just a matter of you have these, and then these are just expanded tastes of this
just
devotional salad.
Follow the extension.
Yes.
You were good with the salad you had.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes you have the leaves and you put some, you know, some salt and some lemon on it. You know, or just some salt, and then someone comes along with lemon. Wow, what's the lemon? You know, then now if they come along with olive oil, whoa, you know, does that make sense? It just starts. So all it is just the same thing that's just expanding. Because, see, the point is if you have, it's so simple that everything goes back to these simple points. That means that all points can come from those simple bases. So depending on what you're dealing, then all these will come out. And so you'll see different facets. Yeah? Oh, okay.
So with expansion, the complexity increases.
It can. It means that's the whole point. It can be more complex, it can be more simple. It's not complex, it's more sophisticated. We make it complex, it's just sophisticated. Because complex means it's trouble. Sophisticated just means it's refined.
Can I get back to the simple point?
Well, it's just that because in this discussion, they're taking that. That's why we're using it in this form.
But if we take back to the simple point, and we divide those four, the quadruple extensions,
right,
into the four aspects of the citta, then we make Sankarsan ego, Pradyumna.
It's intelligence.
Intelligence and Niruddha mind, and then the citta would be vasu. Yeah. The whole thing. That's how we used to do it.
Yeah, well, he's the application. He has all the qualities of all those.
And this way we can say the citta is all included.
Yes. Okay. But the point being is all these aspects are there, but because the context is different, therefore the application, you use different words. And so then, you know, it's just like the clay and the pot are the same, but at the same time, because of the nature of it, you don't call the clay, you call it pot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
My point was that you first have to understand the basic principle, and then when you understand that, then you can interchange it according to
yes.
the situation.
But these also help you get the broadening of that, because otherwise sometimes we also have problems.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Huh. Okay. The beauty of Sankarsana is greater than that of innumerable full moons radiating light beams. He is worshipable as the principle of ego. Right? So here he's saying the principle of ego. So then, he has invested Anantade with all the potencies of sustenance for the dissolution of the creation. Oh, no. For the dissolution of the creation, he exhibits himself as the Supersoul in Rudra. In Adharma, the personality of irreligion. In Sarpa, snakes. In Antaka, Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. And in the demons. Right, so he has all these different aspects. So those potencies specifically we see coming from him. Prajumna, the third manifestation, appears from Sankarsana. Those who are especially intelligent worship this Prajumna expansion of Sankarsana as the principle of the intelligence. The goddess of fortune always chants the glories of Prajumna in the place known as Ilavrita Varsha. And she always serves him with great devotion. Right? So in other words, intelligence is always greatly appreciated. Because if you have intelligence, then do you get opulence? Yeah, so if you have no intelligence, generally you don't. Therefore, we see the goddess of fortune appreciates the intelligence. Right? So as it mentions, women are four times more clever than men. Right? So it's a practical form of intelligence. So what do they expect to see in the men, since it's not going to be the same level of cleverness. So what would be the counterpart? Intelligence. So as clever as she is, he should be as intelligent. So you always have to remember, she's still more clever. But, yeah.
And if he's clever, she should be intelligent?
Yeah, it'll probably work like that. But in any case, just for getting things done, women are more clever.
It's like
coffee. Because if getting done, it means an experience. So. His complexion appears sometimes golden and sometimes bluish, like new monsoon clouds in the sky. He is the origin of the creation of the material world, and he has invested his creative principle in Cupid. By his direction only, because you create the material world, you have to maintain it, so that's happening through Cupid. Otherwise, then, you know, you just run out of living entities, right? It is by his direction only that all men and demigods and other living entities function with energy for regeneration, right? So then you see is that Ananta means Ananta Dev, right, for sustenance, then as the super soul in Rudra, as a Dharma in irreligion, in Sarpa, you know, in the snakes, in Yamaraj, and in the demons. So he has the potency. So here is that for the function of regeneration, right? Aniruddha. The fourth principle, or the fourth of the quadruple expansions, is worshipped by great sages and psychologists as the principle of the mind. His complexion is similar to the bluish hue of a blue cloud. He engages in the maintenance of the cosmic manifestation and is the supersoul of Dharma, the deity of religiosity, the Manus, progenitors of mankind, and the Devatas, the demigods. Right? Because he's always the goal. He's, you know, those in goodness, because the mind means goodness, so then that would be... Yeah. The Moksha Dharma, Vedic scriptures, indicate that Prajumna is the deity of the total mind, whereas Aniruddha is the deity of the total ego. But previous statements regarding quadruple forms have confirmed the Pancharatra Tantra in all respects. Right? So the points of Prabhupada mentioned, they'll all mention these, how we're used to hearing them. But then at certain points, they may give some other details, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Always forget that explanation. Why they say that mind is the goodness?
Because that's where it manifests from. The mind manifests from goodness, the intelligence from passion. Because it's through passion that you get things done. So it's through the intelligence, through the senses that things work. Does that make sense? In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Purva 586 through 100, there's a lucid explanation of the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, negating Shankara's statements. The Mahavarana Purana declares, all the varied expansions of the Personality of Godhead are transcendental and eternal, and all of them repeatedly descend to all the different universes of the material creation. Their bodies, composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, are everlasting. There is no chance of their decaying, for they are not creations of the material world. Their forms are concentrated spiritual essence, always complete with all spiritual qualities, and devoid of material contamination. Confirming these statements, the Narada Pancharatra asserts, the infallible personality of Godhead can manifest his body in different ways according to different modes of worship, just as the Vaiduya gem can manifest itself in various colors, such as blue and yellow. Each incarnation is distinct from all others. This is possible by the Lord's inconceivable potency, by which he can simultaneously represent himself as one, as very partial forms, as the origin of these partial, and as the origin of these partial forms. Nothing is impossible for his inconceivable potencies. Krishna is one without a second. But he manifests himself in different bodies, as stated by Narada in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is wonderful indeed that one Krishna has simultaneously become different Krishnas in 16,000 palaces, to accept 16,000 queens as his wives. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.2. The Padma Puran also explains. The same personality of Godhead, Purushottama, the original person, who is always devoid of material qualities and contamination, can exhibit itself in various forms at the same time, lie down in one form. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Yajanti tan mayas tvam vai bahu murtyeka murtikam. O my Lord, although you manifest yourself in varieties of forms, you are one without a second. Therefore, pure devotees concentrate upon you and worship only you. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47. In the Kurma Purana, it is said, The Lord is personal, although impersonal. He is atomic, although great. And he is blackish and has red eyes, although he is colorless. By material calculation, all this may appear contradictory, but if we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inconceivable potencies, we can accept these facts as eternally possible in him. In our present condition, we cannot understand the spiritual activities and how they occur. But although they are inconceivable in the material context, we should not disregard such contradictory conceptions. And just because they don't seem to make sense, we can't disregard them, because they're on the spiritual platform. That is, just by devotional service, one becomes qualified. Because otherwise, then they would have to say that they're already on the perfect platform. And if they're not, then why make the comments? No? Although it is apparently inconceivable, it is quite possible for the Absolute to reconcile all opposing elements. Srimad Bhagavatam establishes this in 6th Canto, 6.9.34-37. O my Lord, your transcendental pastimes and enjoyments all appear inconceivable because they are not limited to the causal and effective actions of material thought. You can do everything without performing bodily work. The Vedas say that the Absolute Truth has multifarious potencies, does not need to do anything personally. My dear Lord, you are entirely devoid of material qualities. Without anyone's help, you can create, maintain, and dissolve the entire qualitative material manifestation. Yet, in all such activities, you do not change. You do not accept the results of your activities, unlike ordinary demons and demigods who suffer and enjoy the reactions of their activities in the material world. Unaffected by the reactions of work, you eternally exist with your full spiritual potency. This we cannot fully understand. Because you are unlimited in your six opulences, no one can count your transcendental qualities. Philosophers and other thoughtful persons are overwhelmed by the contradictory manifestations of the physical world and the propositions of logical arguments and judgments. Because they are bewildered by word jugglery and disturbed by the different calculations of the scriptures, their theories cannot touch you, who are the ruler and controller of everyone and whose glories are beyond conception. So this is what's happening here, is that because we get into this, we are based on logical arguments, we get into the secondary, and because of that, we can't understand these seemingly contradictory elements of the scriptures. Right? And so then, that's the point. Krishna is beyond these. You know, the great sages are beyond these. So then, that's why we only need to discuss things in context of what's the reality. And then we try to give as best example as possible. You don't have to change the discussion. Because changing the discussion to discuss something mundane doesn't establish the absolute truth.
So, yeah. No, this can be done if we accept the definition given by Krishna and Acharya.
Yes, yes. And we have to use their definitions and their...
If the intent must be also...
Yes, of course, for us. Means, why are we accepting it? If the intent is correct for pure bhakti, then it has meaning.
Yes.
But if our intent is something else, then that's not so good.
Yes.
Right? Mm. Like here, Shankaracharya is taking points from the scriptures, but his intent is to establish, you know, the wrong conclusion. Yes. So then that won't be good.
This example, Prabhupada was once, Harisauri, he caught Prabhupada making a mistake in the Bhagavatam. This, in the 8th canto, there was this fight, the battle on the shore of the Milk Ocean. And this description that the sprinkles of blood went all the way up to the moon, to the sun, but not to the, not, didn't mention the moon. And Prabhupada took that as a proof that the moon is farther away.
Why that's not? Because Bhagavatam does say it's farther away.
Yeah, no, but the point was that it's not taking place on the earth planet, the battle, so it wasn't a proof. And Harisali pointed this out, and Prabhupada admitted, oh, it was a mistake.
I don't understand the context.
The context is that there was, you can say, a false argument. It was not a valid argument, but the intent was proper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His intention was to establish that he didn't go to the moon, and the moon is further away than the sun. So it was, the intention was good, so therefore it was...
Yeah, but at the same time, is we should be careful here, because then if we're going to be analyzing the intention of Srila Prabhupada and all that, what about the intention of the person who brought up the point? What are they trying to prove? Because otherwise, if we know it's farther away, it's the same whether it happened here or happened somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not trying to...
No, understand. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person who originally brought it up.
Yeah.
So the point is that when it comes up, why bring that up? As if the facts are the big mistake.
He explained his intention was to, that because it's an obvious on the external platform an error. So
how is it an obvious error? Even if you're on the heavenly planets, if the moon is above that, then the point is because the milk ocean will be in between the heavenly planets and it'll be above.
But the beautiful thing is Prabhupada accepted that it was he wasn't.
No, that's there. But the point is we have to understand is he accepted, like Rupa Goswami accepted, that when that Digvijay Pandit came, but Jiva Goswami didn't. Mm. And so since it's about my spiritual master, I don't have to accept these things. Mm. Because he says it's an obvious thing, as if he knows astronomy of the universe so well at those days. Mm. Now maybe he knows a lot, but at that time did he know? And so then the whole thing is why would you bring that up?
Anyway, he was hesitant to do. He mentions he was hesitant to do it, but he did it anyway. And Prabhupada was not disturbed.
Yeah, no, that's there. That's just how the Acharya behaves. It doesn't mean that we're not disturbed. Because the point is we can't even figure out where we are anyway. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll fight over whether we're, the earth is flat or whether it's round as a ball, but the point is it's 181th part of Jambudweep. That doesn't come into the conversation at all. And that is 1/7 of the whole of Bhumandala. And that's one of 14 planetary systems. So the whole point is that the idea is that I know everything, I can see everything, but you can't. So the point being is that it doesn't necessarily establish. Because you'll say is, okay, one's higher and lower, so if you're higher it would reach the moon and not the sun because it's lower. But the point is it's also the distance away. It's not just higher, it's other things like that and where they're moving and that. They move in different paths. The sun moves here. It's always here. The moon, like now it's over on this side. But you see, as it starts a full moon, it'll be on this side. It moves that much just in 15 days. The path moves from, now you see it, it's coming up over on this side. But when you see it in the full moon, it'll come up over on this, it'll go down over on this side. It'll shift so much, so where it is and this and that. I mean, the point is it's one way to approach it. But another way is that we don't get involved in that kind of stuff. What's the point? Does that make sense? But your point that intention is the most important, that's there. But the difficulty is in this kind of thing that's brought up, that may not come out as the main point. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Shri Prabhupada ki, Jaya Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nityananda ki.